second hour of the show, what are we talking about? Well, it's a sort of a subject that divides people in half of the nation. The question we're asking is, do speed cameras improve the way you drive, or do they only improve the way you drive in between speed cameras and then you quicken up again and become ignorant? An ignorant, stupid driver. Well, we have someone who sits on the other side of the fence from the anti-speed camera campaigning viewpoint. It's Captain Gatzo. Good afternoon, Captain.
Evening to you, Paul.
Tell me about what you think of this latest thing from the government, which is basically saying they're going to put more speed cameras all over the place, and they're going to put them to actually regulate your average driving speed over large distances. So you could have a car that's going to be tracked for 25, 50, 75, 100 miles even.
It's the story I broke in the Standard yesterday in London. It's about a trial. It's Wi-Fi, so basically they don't need all the trunking. But I think what we're doing, we're all jumping up and down and we're all missing the point here.
Which is?
Well, there's one word. It's enough.
You don't think we should...
We've all had enough. Your listeners, you take a straw poll in any pub tonight.
Yeah.
People, normal, reasonable people, even cops, even ambulance, fire. Like, we've all had these cameras, you know, people are still dying and the deaths aren't coming down. The only people benefiting are speed camera enforcement technology manufacturers. That's right. It. They're lining their pockets. The government. That's it. Full stop.
So you obviously have up your sleeve another method of improving the roads of Great Britain, then?
Yeah, let's get the cops back out on the streets like they used to when we had the safest roads in the Western civilised developed world. These speed cameras are spreading around the Western civilised developed world like a cancer. They're being rolled out in places like Dubai, South Africa, America, Australia, anywhere there's money, where there's cars. You can be sure the cameras will be following.
So you think this is basically an income stream revenue for the government, pure and simple?
This is nothing more than persecution of the driving public. You can't run a police force, sorry, what I call it now these days, politically correct, a service, as a business. And, you know, neither can a police service operate without the consent and the goodwill of the general public.
Right.
And the police are losing, you know, the battle to win hearts and minds on a daily basis now, because they are seen to be issuing these petty speed fines to decent, normal folk.
But this...
That's really, really important. And the police, in the current climate, with all the terrorism and all this crime, especially up in Liverpool with all this other stuff that's going on up in, you know, I won't go there, but they need all the help they can get. And you know, it's a very fragile police-public relationship. And when you have a serious, proper crime happen, when the police come knocking on your door, you'll think, no, I got a ticket the other day, or my partner or my kid got a ticket for a speed camera. I'm not going to be so helpful to the police. Stuff them. And that's where we're going with this, Paul.
But surely this is not the fault of the police. You know, let's not lay the blame at their door. The blame has to be put upon the shoulders of the people in power of this country down in London and Westminster. That's where we need to lobby, surely.
Well, the police carry out the wishes of the government, OK? So it's the government's fault, and they are corrupt from the top down, as they've just demonstrated with the BAE Saudi deal, OK? So the whole thing, the whole way down is corrupt. And unfortunately, the police, I mean, we know it's not really the police that give these speed camera tickets out. It's the councils, it's the partnerships. But in normal people's lives, they deem it to be, it's a speed camera ticket from the police. So unfortunately, it is damaging that relationship, which is very, very important and paramount. Bin the cameras, get the cops out on the streets in their traffic cars, give discretion, and you'll have them pulling off people like drunk drivers, foreign drivers, which they're the bane of our lives at the moment, let's face it.
You're talking about the 2 million two million drivers in the country at the moment that have no insurance and no licences, yeah?
No, that's that, that, this, that, that's a fallacy. What that is there...
Do you think what Andrew McGowan...
No, no, no. The 2 million, the rogue drivers, are people who have had enough of all the cameras and are electing to opt out of the system.
No, you surely cannot say that there are 2 million of those who are opting out because they have no licences and they have no they don't have any insurance as well. That's not the reason why the all 2 million are doing it, surely.
A lot of it is to do with that, and there are figures that support that.
Tell me.
I've done actual physical written media about it on the web, and it's an underclass. It's 2 million plus motorists without insurance, tax, MOT, frequently without a licence, sometimes not even English, but there we go. You are likely to enjoy many trouble-free years of motoring if you're in this underclass now and you opt out.
But they're just...
It's only the people who are registered are getting these bloody tickets.
But those 2 million just ignorant fools, aren't they? They're just idiots with no brain cells, aren't they?
Well, okay, Paul.
They don't have any insurance, and if they have a crash, what happens to the party who's innocent?
Paul, these people, even in London, are driving around in bangers, right? They make it's an elected decision. Because if you start driving London every day, for instance, it's £8 a day congestion charge. So I'll buy my banger for £400. I'll drive in every single bus lane, congestion charge, speed camera. And hey, after 2 months, 3 months, it goes bang, bin it, get another one. It's not in your name, forget about it.
But surely it could be traced back to your name, can't it?
Only if you register it, you're the fool that registers it. If you play their game and register it where you live, which you don't have to do, actually. The law says you have to register a car where you can be contactable. Now, and people have the impression it's where they live or where they work, but it's actually not. So if you don't want to get bailiffs turning up and giving your, you know, try and take your car away or crush it, or here's a big fine for £1,000 early in the morning, register it to a friend's address where you can be contacted, but your car's never outside.
Well, interesting views there from Captain Gatso, anti-speed camera campaigner from www.speedaholics.com. Of course, I would never condone you registering your car that way at all. In fact, I would say don't do it. You're an absolute fool.